We're in Hilchos Deos, Perek Hei Halacha Yud. By the way, I do want to tell you guys that I think that this is awesome because we weren't planning on having class today. Mine is technically over, and the fact that you guys wanted to shiur and you're showing up, such a great way to start your chofesh, really. Kol hakavod to every one of you.
You implied that this shiur was mandatory.
No,
nice try. Nice try. Okay. So, chas v'shalom.
We have shiur tomorrow at 9:30. I don't know.
Oh, no.
It's a mandatory day.
You can go. It's not mandatory. Mama's not mandatory. This is your chance to demonstrate.
We're sitting here.
Okay.
It takes a mice
we won't tell anybody you came of your own volition. We won't ruin your reputation. Okay. So, Perek Hei Halacha Yud in Hilchos Deos, okay? Talmid Chacham Mechalchel Dvarav B'Mishpat. Now, you could interpret that in two ways, but as you'll see as the Rambam sort of develops this thought, it's very clear what the Rambam means. You could have said that the Rambam, that we're talking about his words, that the way that a Talmid Chacham handles what he says should be B'Mishpat, righteousness, thought out, etc. But that's not what the Rambam's talking about. The Rambam here is actually turning from the physical affairs and the social affairs to financial affairs. It's a very interesting topic. Like, you wouldn't think that the Torah, that the Rambam is going to take his time to tell you, how do you manage your bank account? But the Rambam says, if the whole nature of Hilchot Deot is that if you're going to find moderation in life, then it has to be everything. It's not like you're in a Torah lifestyle in the basement, but then when you go to the bank, you're leaving Torah, but Nebuch knew he's not on a high level, so he goes to the bank. No. You should bring Torah with you everywhere. It should be in the bedroom, in the boardroom, in the bank, right? So the Rambam says, Talmid Chacham, Michalchel Dvarav Mishpat, okay? Lechalkel, from the word kalkala, whatever, really means to manage, okay? That he manages his affairs, his financial affairs, whatever, the things that he has to deal with, b'mishpat, okay? Judiciously. He thinks it through, he does it correctly, right? Ochel v'shoteh. Vizan et anshei beito, kefi mamono v'atzlachato. Right? You see people sometimes who are off balance in their financial affairs. You know, I remember when I went to Boca, so I was there for 3 years, and the lifestyle there is a very difficult lifestyle on certain levels because people get sucked into like what the Joneses are doing. You know, if you went to, Boca when real estate was low, and you got yourself a house, and then real estate skyrocketed, it was one of the top 10 communities in America for some reason. I have my theories about it, but not for now. And basically housing prices, like if you bought a $100,000 house in like 1985 on the Circle in Boca, by 1990, by the year 2000, it was worth $350,000-$400,000. It had quadrupled, okay? And prices were out of control. People were sort of holding on to small houses for $700,000-$900,000 that they had bought for $150,000, right? Everybody wanted to move in. Prices skyrocketed, et cetera. So what that meant was that as later people moved in, they were in a different social strata. You're moving next door to someone who bought his house 5 years ago for $100,000, and you're now paying $800,000, so you're in a different space. So now you have a different type of car, and you're putting additions on your houses that are different, and you're putting clothes on your children that are different, and it's like Lanaim because the kid goes to school and everybody else has these types of clothing and everybody else. So you feel a need, so you lease a car because, you know, Lanaim, it's uncomfortable. I'm the one with the beat up Toyota. I live in the neighborhood, right? So you lease a car and now it looks like you're driving a brand new Lexus, right? And then you put on the renovation, but you can't let your house get run down. So you take out a second mortgage and so on and so forth. And then the housing, Yaakov, can you, thanks. And then the housing, you know, sort of bubble burst. And all of a sudden you had people who had no money. And they could not support their lifestyle. There was a fellow on the board of one of the schools who for the first time in his life had to apply for a scholarship. And people were having a really hard time because he was, you know, someone said his wife was driving a brand new Mercedes, right? And he's on the board. How can we give him a scholarship, right? And then it turned out that the reason people thought she had a new Mercedes was because she had that, you know, that special license plate that you get when it's a new car for a while, like testing it out. So it looked like a new car. But really what had happened was this was like a 7-year-old car that they had to sell it to one of their relatives in order to avoid having it possessed, repossessed. All sorts of stories like that, right? And chas v'shalom, I'm not judging anybody here, but you got to be careful to live within your means. You know, You don't need to live extravagantly, you know, and you always ask yourself, do I need this? What's the value of this? Is there a purpose to this, right? Don't be off balance. Don't be off balance in what you do. Don't be off balance in how you eat. Don't be off balance in your finances, right? Right? Eat and have a lifestyle according to your, you know, if you're going out to dinner every night and you're going off on vacations three times a year, but meanwhile, you know, you can't afford to pay school tuition, something's off, right? Yeah?
Can I say something about the thing? It's not directly related to this halacha specifically,
yeah.
But it's similar,
yeah.
I think a lot of times all process, all experience is in terms of acting with balance, acting with respect, no matter what the circumstance, whether I'm eating, and you know, I think you should definitely be conscious of how you act when you're, it seems like you're just at a barbecue, whatever, but so sometimes I'll have this process of how would I act if Rabbi from home was here, you know? Would I speak the same way I'm speaking now?
Right.
Would I dress the same way? Would I say the same things to the same people, you know? I'm not saying you should always walk around and, like, nervous, but do you think that's healthy? Because I find that that'll help me treat people with respect more. And
I think that the issue that people have with this topic, if you think about it, is twofold. One is libriot. One is, right, that that they assume, right? What do we sometimes put on top of the aron? Dalif ne miyata omed, right? Like, we're so nervous about, you know, what this Rebbe or that, you know, counselor or whoever it is would say if he walked into the room. If we really had a healthy view of reality, I mean, if you believe that Hashem is in the world, Hashem loves you, right, what's the issue people have with that, with being aware that Hashem is always there? It turns it into a big brother relationship. Right? But what if it's not a big brother relationship? What if, for example, when I think about like what my father would say, how my father would feel about something, I don't feel like my father is big brother. I'm very close with my dad, with my parents, right? And if my dad was in the room, I would behave a certain way, but that's because he loves me and I love him and I have just this tremendous respect for him. So sometimes we're not able to do that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we don't see immediate consequence.
So
I think it's wonderful to do that. And if you have someone in your life like that, you know, and for me, it's not so much what such a person would say if they walked into the room, because you don't really think he's walking into the room, but what would such a person say if he found out that I was doing this? You know what I mean?
If I thought I'm nervous that I'm going to, like, get in trouble or, like, change the way I thought about it, someone's...
Right.
I'm just saying, like, I know that there's, like, someone I would respect. So I'm thinking with this, you could say, like, okay, I can rationalize to myself why it's okay to spend money on this vacation or whatever, but if, like, someone who I really respect was looking at my bank statements, how would I feel about what they would say? Yeah.
You know, it's always a question of balance. It's a question of not just how you would explain it, but whether you really feel it has value. You could be wrong. And the Yetzer Hara is very clever at giving you justification, you know? I mean, I don't go away with my family, with my wife, whatever, every other Wednesday. But once a year, we take a few days. I take some time with the Reed. I take some time with the kid. We have a, you know, whatever. And that's valuable. We get some time to put everything away, but if it becomes excessive, now what's the definition of excessive? So for someone living in the shtetl, what we do is unbelievably excessive, right? But on the other hand, you know, relative to what some people do, I mean, I remember when we were doing these Pesach programs, so you would go to a place and, you know, they're charging $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a person, and you have people who come with their whole ganze mishpacha, and they're spending $100,000, $200,000 on a week of Pesach. And you just take a step back and look at that. And don't get me wrong, I don't know how much they would spend on Pesach if they were at home, but that's an issue. That's a challenge. That's an excess. And it doesn't mean that I would judge the individual. When you take a step back and realize what you could do with that, you know what I mean? Like, you could buy a small apartment for someone. I mean, that's an unbelievable thing. So these are things to think about. But here the Rambam is not talking about looking at other people's excesses. Here the Rambam is talking about finding your balance. Like, for example, you know, what do you spend in a given year? You know, when you first get married, it's a little sort of daunting that you have to all of a sudden run your own budget. You know, till now, like, what's your budget? Your parents give you some money, and you have a month, and so let's not spend it on the burger because I want to save it for a book. But then you get married, and there's all sorts of bills coming in, and income coming in, and expenses, whatever, right? So do you create a healthy system of balance? Like, what do you spend in a year? What's a reasonable amount? What's reasonable to spend on excess? What's unreasonable? By the way, in both directions. Like, if you can afford, you know, to sort of take your wife out to dinner, but you never do it because you can't imagine spending, you know, 50 shekels or 100 shekels on a steak, and therefore you never take your wife out for dinner, even on your anniversary. So, in our world, you could make a case of saying that's excess. right? In the wrong direction. It doesn't matter. Like, that's for me. Like, you have to find your balance, right? And then the Rambam goes on. V'lo yatriach al atzmo yoter midai. Now, this is a fascinating statement. Okay? V'lo yatriach al atzmo yoter midai. And he shouldn't make too much effort. That's a very strange thing to say. What do you mean you shouldn't make too much effort? How do you ever make too much effort? Pardon?
You shouldn't be working 20 hours a day.
Oh. So, you can be occupied without being preoccupied. Right? You meet people who just are off balance. You know, if you become a lawyer, so they say that for the first number of years of you know, when you're a lawyer, you're working 100 hours a week. Right? 100 hours a week. And you meet people who just never see their children, and they never see their families. Right? And at the end of the day, when you take a step back, you know, that's off balance. You know? One of the ways that you measure that you're off balance is your children. Like, you find out whether you're off balance or not when your kids are 16 and 17. That's when you really find out if you're off balance. You know, I got Baruch Hashem. Hashem should be Ozer. So I have a healthy relationship with my kids, Baruch Hashem. And I always ask them the same question when we go to Noraita Shabbaton. You know, do you guys want to come? Do you not want to come? Especially the older kids, you know, they don't have to, you know. And if my family said they didn't want to come for Noraita Shabbos, so I could imagine one or two Shabbaton a year, I would come on my own. But I wouldn't do more than that. If they didn't want to come, I'd stop doing a right to Shabbaton, or we'd do more Shabbaton in Efrat, because you have to find balance in all of your affairs. You know what I mean? It's the same idea, right? So if you're so focused on making money, if you're so focused on the work that you lose sight of the purpose of the work, then you're off balance. And one of the challenges in this area is how you find that balance. Now, this is going to hit you when you get to college. Some of the colleges that you guys are going to demand an enormous amount of work. You know? I know, for example, the high school that Mayan went to and now Bezrat Samadhi is going to, they demand an enormous amount of work. And, you know, when kids are in ninth grade, they're overwhelmed by the amount of work that they have. And what we always felt our job was as parents was to make sure that these kids have balance. Like, if your kid is up until 11, 12 o'clock every night doing homework every single day and they have no social life, that's off. And if it means you have to call a teacher and say, this is off, these children need time. So it happens to be that in these schools, they give them off every Tuesday afternoon. They have Tuesday afternoon is like youth groups day, Bnei Akiva, Ezra, whatever. And they want the kids to be in these youth groups. They want them to be madrichim. They think it develops leadership. They want them to have social, you know, experiences. You don't have to go out every night. But, you know, so school, even high school, ends at like 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesdays. And these kids go to do hadracha, whatever it might be. And we push the kids Tuesday night, not the night for homework, and they don't give them tests on Wednesdays. So they try to find a balance. And, you know, it's the same thing. So you're going to be in college, you know. I mean, you're going to Penn. So I remember I was talking to a boy this year, Matt Sherman, who was in Penn. He's a pretty bright kid. I think I told you this. And he was, like, overwhelmed by the amount of reading and the amount of work that he had to do. And, you know, now he's gotten used to it. And it's okay when you start something to, you know, to go to an extreme so that you can find the balance. That's also in the Rambam. Right, but if you're at the end of your first year or sophomore year and you find you have no social life, something's wrong. And if you can't find a way to work it out in that college, go to a different college. Because at the end of the day, if you go through 4 years of college and you have no social life whatsoever, what you gain in the financial arena of having good job possibilities might not be worth what you lose socially. And that's what the Ram was talking about. You have to find balance.
You barely gain anything by going to better college, like in the long run.
Right,
what do you compare to the extra price you're paying?
Yeah, I don't have a way of measuring that.
It's just
I can only speak.
You want people to. I went to Penn or I went to Harvard.
Look, I know in Israel, there's a teacher's degree program called the Yaakov Herzog Teacher's Degree Program, which is part of Gush, and it's considered like the Harvard of Jewish Studies programs. It's a very, very difficult program.
Gush is Harvard of Jewish Studies.
Yeah, no, this is very high. People come from.
They have
a machon there.
Do they have any good colleges in Israel?
Go apply to the Technion, see if you get in.
All right.
From Minnesota. Anyway, so it'll be a challenge. Anyway, right? But anyway, this is considered a very high level teacher's degree program, and it's a 3-4 year program. You get a master's at the end of it. And I remember when I was there, people were coming from all over the country. People come from Chutzlars to do this degree, right? And I look now at the process that I go through when a teacher comes to interview, when someone wants to get to sort of employment, not just for me, but sometimes, you know, I'll always tell a person who's looking for a job, like, that's one of the biggest chesed you can do. to help someone find a job. So if someone needs a job, you know, I get 2-3 a week of people who are looking for a job in chinuch, and I don't have what to offer them, but I'll float it around, I'll send it around, whatever it may be. And I find that in the process of hiring someone, I pay very little attention to where they've studied. They put on their resume, I went to Harvard, I went to Yale, I went to whatever. I find guys who go to community college, but they're unbelievably charismatic, and for whatever the reason. And I find guys who went to Harvard, and they're just dry toast. And it depends on the profession, there's a balance. But what we're talking about here is that you can become so focused on one aspect of your life that you lose focus on the other aspects of your life. And so what the Rambam is saying, basically, is you have to find balance. Right? And now it gets interesting. Okay? Don't eat meat except because you have an appetite for it. Okay? I don't know if you feel this way, but yesterday at Shal Shittis, like I happen to think that this yeshiva and it has nothing to do with me. It's totally Scott. And maybe the Madrichim, because they talk with them about the, and Rav Moish, they talk about menu. Like, I don't know if you realize this, but we went, unless maybe I don't know about it, we went through an entire Zman. Or to the best of my knowledge, there were no major complaints about food. That's a pretty big issue. Like when I was in yeshiva, everybody complained about food. And I was sitting yesterday at Shal Shittis, and I hadn't thought about this in a long time, and they brought out these Moshe Bateva, what do they call in English? Franks and blankets, okay, right. And and I was having a cup of coffee. That's what they're called, Moshe Bateva, yeah.
They're
eating Moshe in the ark, right? He's hidden in there. Anyway, so
that's strange.
Okay,
that's off balance.
It's a little off balance. It's a little strange. Anyway, so they brought this out. So Yaakov or Rav Noam, somebody noticed that I was drinking coffee. They said, you know, that's fleishik. So it never occurred to me to be fleishik at Shal Shittis. It makes sense because of what time lunch was and what time Shal Shittis was. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, okay, you know, I mean, Moshe, but that's a serious, you know. But I had a cup of coffee. So I went with the cup of coffee. And I just didn't need the food. I wasn't hungry for it. We just had lunch. I wasn't hungry for whatever. If you're at a point where you don't need to eat, then don't eat. That's part of balance. And, you know, we get into habits. It's interesting. They tell you, you know, if you read up on, like, health and nutrition, that people develop eating habits. Americans have very unhealthy eating habits. One of the, do you know the top instance of Americans eating when they don't need to eat? One of the top causes of eating which causes overweight?
While watching TV?
Television. That's what people do. They develop a habit, right? You're watching TV. You know, I started to notice at a certain point that I would sit and I'd watch the news, you know, come home, you know, spend some time with the kids. Then we'd take like half an hour, catch up on the news. I started to notice whenever I had the news, I would nosh. And I wasn't hungry. I just had dinner. So you have one of two things. You either break the habit or don't watch television then. Because if that's what caused you. But there's something off balance with that. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. You only eat potato. Eat when you're hungry, yeah?
Shabbos lunch. Let's say I'm not fully satiated, but I'm kind of full. I'm not really hungry if I still actually sheet time. Yeah, I had a good Shabbos lunch. Should I still have a piece of bread?
So the Shalah of Yishael Lev Horowitz was one of the great Mekubalim in the 1600s. He used to make Kiddush at Shal Shittis because he felt that the third meal is the only meal that you really eat only for Shabbat. Now, in the summer, that's debatable, but in the winter, it's certainly true, right? When you just finished lunch at 2, now you're eating Shal Shittis at 4:30. So on the other hand, you don't want to be eating Achila Gasa. So the trick to that, it's just mine, is that when you eat lunch, the Rambam says anyway, whenever you eat, you should eat a little less than what you really want to eat. There's an interesting debate, an eighth, a third, whatever it might be. And to eat two-thirds, to eat three-quarters. It's an interesting discussion, not just in the Rambam. But if you walk, if you get up from the table on Shabbos lunch and you are so stuffed you can't move, something's wrong. That's not the way you should eat. And I know that there are times when I'm not thinking about it, we're in a good conversation, I suddenly find by the end of the meal, I can't, whatever. We have mincha at the end of lunch in Israel. You know, we have a 1:15 mincha. And I, you know, missing that mincha just kills me. Because then you got to walk very far in my neighborhood to a 5 o'clock mincha. So whatever. So then you feel it. You go to mincha. And then there's that, like some of you have been to the miklat, to that little, whatever, on my block. So you get that little walk. It's sakal, what is it, 100 meters, 200 meters, right? But it's uphill. Then you feel it. So whenever I feel that, I go for a walk. I don't want to get to the bed and take a nap when I'm so... But yeah, you leave yourself a little hungry, and then you don't have to stuff your face at Shal Shittis either. After all, you want to leave room if you go out, you know, with your wife Matzah Shabbos, right? But anyway...
I feel like that. That's when I feel the most patriotic. When
When
I can't walk.
When you can't walk. Okay, Baruch Hashem, right? So, Tzivu Chacham Derech Eretz, Shalo Yechal Adam Basar L'Teavon. Don't eat unless you're hungry. Sh'ne'emar, Ki Teaveh Nafshecha L'Chol Basar. Like, when you're hungry, that's when you should eat. Dayo Le'Bari L'Chol Basar Me'erev Shabbat L'Erev Shabbat. And really, a healthy person doesn't need to eat a serious, solid meat meal more than once a week, right? Like, I don't eat meat that often during the week. We just don't. But, you know, but if you eat a meal, like, but there's some people who are eating meat, like, three times a day. I mean, I remember once I was in a hotel on a trip, and there was somebody who wanted to meet me. And the only way it was working out was early in the morning. Right? It was early in the morning. So, pardon?
They wanted to meet you.
Oh, right. Anyway, so, right? So the only way to meet was down the lobby before I was going off to some meetings. So I went down at 7:30 in the morning, and they had like one of these little breakfast place, whatever it is, with the, like the coffee machine and the paper cups, whatever. So I went to get myself a cup of coffee, and we're sitting. And I noticed this restaurant, there's a big buffet there. And in the buffet, I'm smelling meat, right? And it was making me like a little nauseous. And I was curious, and people are coming down for breakfast before their day, and they're going to eat breakfast, and they're piling their plate with like bacon and strips of like things that look like hot dogs, wieners, whatever. In like an American hotel, I'm thinking like, how could you eat that in the morning? People eat three meat meals a day, and that's why they look like, you know, we can empty out the pool with a good jump. You know what I'm saying? So you understand? You have to be but you have to be balanced. And if you remember, by the way, sort of. You know, some of the things that the Rambam has said, once you know where you're at. So then the question is just to grow in the right direction. Like, I'm the last one to talk about, you know, being perfect in terms of health and nutrition and physical, whatever. But, you know, if you realize, like, you want to, whether it's lose some weight or lose some energy or lose some stress, you just have to figure out where you're at and figure out how to begin the process of getting into a healthier space, right? Okay, but then it gets interesting. Hang on. Ve'im haya ashir kedei lechol basar b'chol yom ochel. But every person's wealthy. In other words, the Rambam is still talking about finances here. It says, it's enough to eat meat once a week on Shabbos. But look, if you can afford a good meat meal every day, so that's okay to eat meat once a day. Like, you know, send it. You know, it's a question of what your moderation is.
Hey, what he says every day, does it, by the same rule, could you say three times a day?
Pardon?
No, there's no reason why you shouldn't extend this and say if you can afford it, you should eat meat three times a day.
The Rambam doesn't say that. I think, although this is a debatable issue, that the reason the Rambam said it is because it's not healthy to eat meat three times a day.
Or maybe people just didn't do that.
The very fact that la'alacha, we don't eat meat and milk together, means if you want to have dairy products, you're really not going to end up having three meat meals a day. And since part of balance is finding sometimes dairy, that's the Rambam Perek Dalet, when you look at the things he says a person should eat, then by nature you're not going to have three meals a day. You understand? Tzivu chachamim v'amru le'olam yachal adam pachot min ha'ro'i lo lufi mamuno. A person should always eat a little less than what he's capable of according to his finances. V'il bash kara'ulo, but he should dress according to his status, according to what he can afford. V'yichabed ishto uvanav yoter min ha'ro'ulo. In other words, there are three topics here. What you eat, how you dress, and how you take care of those whom you're responsible for, your wife, your children, whatever it is. So when it comes to what you eat, eat a little less than what you can afford. When it comes to how you dress, dress according to what you can afford. And there's nothing wrong for a very wealthy person to dress in a wealthy fashion, as long as it's not arrogant, right? Because in those circles, that's how you dress. If you're elected to the House of Parliament and you're going into the British House of Parliament, you don't come in a secondhand thrift store suit with holes in the back, you know? On the other hand, if you're a kolelnik, right? So then you don't come in an Armani suit. You have to find the balance, right? And so that's halacha yid. I'm going to start you off on halacha yid aleph.
Yeah. According to what you can afford.
Yeah.
I mean, in a Western country nowadays, when you're spending 10% of your money on food, you can afford to eat.
Is that true, really? 10% on food?
Or less.
Really?
Did you read that somewhere?
Oh, look it up.
That's an interesting question. What percentage on food?
I mean, but
I think Jews probably spend more because we spend a lot of money on guests.
Especially compared to, I mean, compared to like a third world country where you're like spending half your money or more on food. I mean, the amount of food we could really.
It's not because we eat less food, it's because we spend a lot more on other things. That's what you're saying.
But the amount of food we could really afford to eat is a lot more than the amount we can stomach.
Yeah, I guess it depends how you balance your budget. That's true.
So,
in other words, you
need a little less, so you should.
No, like for example, could I technically afford, if I rearranged my priorities, to go out for dinner in a restaurant with the whole family every night of the year? Probably. You know, I'd sell this and sell that, and we could sell our house and move into a small apartment, and we can manage, right? But that would be off. That's what the Rambam's talking about. You have to find balance. Halacha Yud Aleph is a fascinating halacha. I thought we would get there, but I see we're running out of time.
A percentage of how much you're earning and everything, how much you're spending on food,
even under that circumstance, you're taking your family out to eat every night, you still might be spending, as a percentage of your income, less than someone who's starving in a third world country.
That could be.
He might be spending more as a percentage.
That could be. Look, part of the question...
As a percentage of how much you earn.
Right. Look, part of the question is how much... Yeah, how much of this sort of is affected by the social norms. In other words, in my circle, it's not normal for a person to go out every night. People just don't do that. It's considered to be extravagant. And so if you would do that, like imagine, I'll give you a good example. Imagine if you marry off your children, and you want to be able to help your children. And you can only help them so much. You know, you're in chinuch, whatever it might be. So you give a little whatever. And let's say one of your kids comes to you and says, look, we really need help. We want to, you know, rent in this country is ridiculous. We want to try to put down a mortgage. So here's what I could do. I wish I could do more. But meanwhile, you know, you're going out every night for dinner in fancy restaurants, taking cruises, you know, whatever it is. So I've had discussions with students who struggled with this, you know, because they don't know how to approach this topic and should they approach the topic. It's a healthy question to ask if you do it in a proper way. So my attitude, you know, sort of is that it's not bakavadik for children to ever say to the parents they have this issue. On the other hand, if a kid can't let it go, neither is it healthy to keep something like that bottled up inside. Something's off. But this question arises because the parent who can't help their children but can spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars going out for dinner every night, there's something off with that balance. Now, maybe that's not objective. Maybe that's just my perspective, you know. But at least the question should be there. You know what I'm saying? On the other hand, if you're helping your children and you're going into debt at age 65 or 70, and now you're not sure you'll have enough to live on an entire retirement because you don't want your children to have to pay rent, and so you're buying them each an apartment, but now you have to take out a second mortgage and the bank is calling in a loan, that's also off. You're not doing your children a favor if you don't save for retirement because they're going to end up having to support you. So balance is what the Rambam is talking about. Now the next halacha, which we're going to have to get to in Kaitzman, fascinating halacha. The next halacha is the question of where's the balance between working and supporting yourself, right? The Rambam has a fascinating recipe. He says, first you have to get a job. First you have to create a profession. And then you should find yourself a place to live. And then you should get married. First, get your profession. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean going to college. You know, we've sort of come up into a world where it's just assumed everybody goes to college. There are people, you know, in Israel, it's different. In Israel, there are five, I think, major universities. Six, right? And there are a lot of sort of smaller colleges. It's not possible for every high school graduate in this country to find a place in the universities and colleges that are here. So a lot of...
Same with America.
It could be, but the difference is that people here will go to technical college and do all sorts of other professions, and it's respected here. Like, if you're an electrician or a plumber in this country, you're as respected as a lawyer, right? In America, it's a whole different way of looking at it, right? And that being the case, right? So, what if you sort of, you know, go and get married, and you have no profession, and you have no place to live, and now you're going to start looking for a place to live. So you scrimp, you know, here, you borrow from your parents, you borrow money from the bank, now you got a place to live, now you have to go do a profession. So the Rambam says that's off. Now, this does not mean that if you meet the girl that you want to marry, that you should wait 5 years to get married. That's also problematic. First of all, because you're being doche a mitzvah, you're pushing off a mitzvah. And second of all, because it's not healthy in the religious world if you're limiting yourself physically in all sorts of other ways to have a relationship for 5 years where you can't, you know, sort of move forward. But that balance is what the Rambam's talking about. In other words, if you were to say to me, should I sit now 6 or 7 years and learn only Torah and then go to college? Or go to college and then think about learning Torah, right? I would not necessarily say that you should sit 6 or 7 years, learn Torah, and then go to college. Because if you're going to get married, and this is, by the way, an interesting question. That's why this is too long to discuss now. But that's going to be the first question next month of Hilchos Deos is, so what about all these kolels? Like, they're Gedolei Torah who support these kolels. How do they deal with this Rambam? How do you sit and learn Torah for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years? You get married, but you have no profession, you have no home to live in, and the strata, the social strata, the economic strata of the Haredi community is collapsing. And this may be one of the reasons people had problems with the Rambam. I don't think so. I don't think that social sort of framework existed in the time of the Rambam. So we're going to get into that, Bezrat Hashem, when we get back. That'll be what we'll start with. Nice controversial topic. I want to just say that